Matthew 4, 12 to 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus changes everything, and in many different ways. History, the morality which has affected much of the world. Jesus fundamentally changes the way people can relate to God. Jesus opens up God's plans to save humanity to anyone. Jesus shows us who God is and what he is like. And personally, Jesus changes and shapes our lives. Yes, Jesus changes the world. I can imagine a promotion for an anticipated massive movie is what Jesus' coming deserved. Get ready for an event like no other. It will change the way you think and see everything. Be prepared for an experience like no other. You will never be the same again. Coming this summer is the moment which will define the course for all human history to come. Jesus. I think that's what Jesus sort of deserved, his coming, because it really was actually living up to that hype, unlike most advertisements that do that. Because Jesus' coming really did change everything for humanity. And I guess Jesus kind of did get that sort of announcement at his baptism when God spoke from heaven saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." You see, Jesus was always the plan. Because God always wanted a solution for our separation from him, which was for all people, and which all who desired it could attain. Right from the beginning, God knew that we would rebel and sin. And he incorporated this into his plan, where people would, from a state of separation from him, get to freely choose whether we want to be a part of his perfect heavenly kingdom, having known both good and evil. The word of God becoming a man and therefore a part of creation to redeem people as well as all creation was always part of God's eternal plan. So God made sure that his Son's life, ministry, death and resurrection would be a spectacle for people for all time, which we would be able to look back at and investigate, so that we who live over 2,000 years after Jesus was born can have faith that he is the Savior of the world, and so that we would have a Bible which we can read to come to know him as our risen Lord. So God brought forth a single nation who would be his special people and who would be the vehicle for all his plans for salvation. But salvation was never to be for them alone, but to be extended to all peoples of the earth. And so, of course, where we stand in our relationship with God is because of Jesus. Today is the third week of Epiphany. Epiphany celebrates Jesus being made known for who he really is. And so as we come to the gospel reading for today, we read about the beginning of the journey of how Jesus changed the world in all the myriad of ways he does. And he begins this by preaching the way of salvation, the gospel, and the calling of his first disciples to be a part of what he is doing in the world, to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. The story begins straight after Jesus' baptism and temptation in the desert. Jesus hears about John the Baptist being put into prison, and this event sees Jesus start his ministry. Jesus changes where he lives. He moves from Nazareth, where he grew up, to Galilee, the place where it was prophesied in Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 4, where the Messiah would minister. And so Jesus begins preaching, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And the kingdom of heaven was indeed near. For the kingdom of heaven exists whenever and wherever people turn from their own ways to follow Jesus. So shortly after Jesus has begun his public teaching and preaching, he walks beside the Sea of Galilee and decides to call out to two fishermen, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting their nets when Jesus did this, and he said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And having heard the invitation from this preacher, Peter and Andrew leave their nets right there and then and follow Jesus. Jesus then sees James and John preparing their nets with their father in a boat a little further down the shore and calls out to them to follow him too. They also immediately start following Jesus, leaving their father in the boat. And we then read how Jesus continued teaching and preaching and healing people of diseases and sicknesses. Basically, we read how Jesus continued to start his ministry. This ministry of Jesus will change the world. It does this by opening up a way for people to have a restored relationship with God in a way which otherwise would not be possible. It does this by enabling people to have their sins forgiven in a way which otherwise would not be possible. It does this by enabling people to become children of God, which otherwise would not be possible. But just as Jesus' ministry impacted the world and changed history, when we encounter Jesus' ministry in our lives, it has an impact on our world. Encountering Jesus should completely change everything for you. The response each one of us should have to coming to know Jesus, in coming to know Jesus, is the same as that of the disciples. That is, that we should leave how we were living our life, stop what we were doing, maybe reevaluate our life's direction, change our life's direction and follow Jesus in how he wants us to live this life. So as we come to this new year, wherever you've been in your relationship with Jesus, whether you've been pretty close or wandered a little way off, let us start the year by allowing Jesus to have the impact on us which he deserves to have. That means completely directing the path of our life. It's easy for us to get a little distracted or a lot distracted. It can be difficult to follow Jesus because it is a radical shift in many ways from how we naturally work and how we naturally respond to things as human beings. But the change Jesus brings into our lives should see us change everything about who we are and bring everything in our lives into alignment with Him. Now, one of the most important changes Jesus brings to the world is by giving people, by giving us, the opportunity to be a part of God's family. With God the Father as our Heavenly Father and with Jesus as our brother. It is such a wonderful privilege to be a son or daughter of God. And Jesus gives us a worldwide family to belong to. This family is the church. And Jesus prayed for us all at the end of his life on this earth. The prayer is recorded for us in John 17, verses 20 to 26. This is that prayer. My prayer is not for them alone, that's the disciples. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. So that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. There are many beautiful things prayed for in this short prayer by Jesus. But there are four recurring themes that I heard. That the people of God be one, or to be brought into unity. The reaffirmation of the oneness and love shared between the Father and Jesus. That Jesus and his love be in us. And that sharing, and that our sharing in Jesus' love and unity together will be a witness for the world. We also gain a glimpse into the Trinitarian fellowship within God. And through Jesus, we get to be a part of sharing in that fellowship. And part of sharing in that fellowship of God is to share in fellowship with one another. This means that the church is to be a loving, accepting, encouraging place for all followers of Jesus to call home. Isn't it nice when the church feels like home? The difficulty with this is that we are not all the same. In fact, in some ways, we may not even be alike. We have different skills and abilities, which shape our interests and focuses. We have different upbringings and life experiences. We have different political views and values. We have different church backgrounds, teachings and ways of doing church life. But yet Jesus prays in this prayer repeatedly, again and again, that we would be united together as one family, with a common heavenly Father and the same Lord Jesus. It's as if Jesus knew that we would not always find this easy. This is the issue happening in Corinth when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. They're bickering over which apostles' beliefs are best or most correct. Who do they agree with more? Paul? Apollos? Peter? Now these three apostles, we know, essentially share the same gospel message about Jesus. But because they are different people, they operate in slightly different ways and probably had different things they emphasized, or maybe slightly different ways of going about church life. And these things are causing the church to have divisions. But these things ought not to cause divisions. We've all been brought into the family of God by Jesus, and he is our Lord and teacher. We are all those who have committed ourselves to following him and to be a part of the kingdom of heaven on earth. That is who each and every one of us are. And that is what is most important. But because we are human beings, we naturally like forming small comfort groups of people we find it easy to get along with, who have similar perspectives to us. But Jesus says, I have called you to be one with all those who are my disciples. Which means at times it can be difficult to navigate this. We have to have a sense of what is central to our faith in Jesus and what is less important. And when we share in those essential elements of the gospel of Jesus, as he's revealed in the Bible, and as which has been passed on to us by the apostles, to be willing then to give people grace and space to not share in our beliefs in all the details. After all, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So part of the change Jesus brought into the world is the creation of one heavenly family for us and anyone to belong to, where anyone can experience the love and fellowship of God. And that is a wonderful thing, although not always easy. Jesus has changed everything. He has made it possible for all people to be redeemed and reconciled to God. Jesus has made it possible for us to be the children of God and a part of the kingdom of heaven. All we have to do is to repent and to believe the good news. If we do this, then Jesus becomes our new reality for all that we do in this life. Just like he did for the first disciples when he called them, Jesus turns our world upside down, and we are to live for him rather than living for ourselves. We are in Christ, and he comes to live in us. And he gives us a spiritual family to be a part of, which is the church. Together in this family, Jesus desires for us to love him and to love each other. And he prays that despite our differences, we will be one in fellowship, one in mind, one in spirit. Jesus changes everything. But as we start this new year, I want to ask you this question. Has he changed you? Amen.